Time now for Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. All the topics and issues that matter to you and your family. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Joining me in studio now is our frequent guests of the show. We have two people from the Fort McMurray Catholic School District, Board Chair Paula Galanzowski and Superintendent George McGuigan. Thank you both for joining me in studio today. How are you?
Great. Yourself?
Good.
Very good. Thank you. As we know, it's getting busy. Holiday season is now upon us. Last Monday, you had your latest board meeting, which was kind of a little bit tampered by that nice big snowstorm that we did have. So when we come into events like this, and especially that was kind of one of the first big ones throughout the morning of the year, maybe I just thought it would be a good idea to remind parents within the Catholic School District what they need to know in the event when it comes to buses and classes and cancellations of school events planned for that evening. So let's start with the mornings and the buses. If parents are unsure if their child's bus is going to be delayed or going to come at all, where do they go? Where do they find that information?
Well, typically they can find that information through myschoolbusmonitor.ca. The school buses delays and I think there's rarely a cancellation unless the roads are too terribly bad. I guess it's hard to predict that, but any cancellations or delays should be can be seen on myschoolbusmonitor.ca. As far as school events being canceled, we have a really, really great messenger system, and if parents' information is correct in our Maplewood system, which is our school-wide data portal, then they should be able to receive text messages.
Oh, nice.
Regarding any incidents, emergencies, cancellations, school event cancellations, stuff like that. So it's a very handy tool.
Do they have access to, like, everyone has access to this system?
Yes.
Parents-wise?
Yes. So when you register your child for school, you would give your current contact information. So if your information and your phone numbers are current, then you should be receiving direct text messages regarding any events, emergencies like that.
And I guess if worse comes to worse, they could just call the school individually?
They can, yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess one thing I also just realized, and I'm sure many people do know this, but some of the buses, the Catholic and public school district, are together, right?
Is that? Yeah. We share. We have a common transportation system share between both school districts.
So then that if, the first round of buses gets there on time in the later morning, could see some delays at that point?
Certainly. One of the first things that happens when you get these kind of events, which are rare for us in this community, obviously, but we're always on the phone talking with our counterparts in the public school system, talking with Sparksmen, and they're relaying information to both systems, so everybody is fully aware. One of the important things to know, even these situations, we never close our schools. And parents understand that regardless of the weather, because of this community where everybody's working and up early for work and things, we maintain and keep our schools open. Now, we may have combined classes and things depending on what the day looks like, but our schools will be open because parents will be sending their students to school, and we have to make sure those doors are open so at least we keep them safe.
Is there any weather event that would close the school, whether it be too cold or...
No, especially in cold weather, we wouldn't close the doors because, like I said, if parents drop their child off at school and the doors are locked at minus 40, that wouldn't go over too well.
No.
Yeah. With technology, our information sharing is great, but, nothing is ever 100%, so there's always going to be a parent or two that don't have the current information or don't get the text message.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever just cancel classes but keep the schools open?
One time it was probably about 6 or 7 years, we had that big spring snowstorm here, and people couldn't get out of their cul-de-sacs and their side streets, and it was kind of a very hilarious situation. Actually, people were driving their children to school on snowmobiles.
Welcome to Fort McMurray and the Northern Alberta winters. Wow, so kids here will never get to experience a snow day.
No, not like the East Coast.
Wow,
no.
It's really missing out on the opportunity, but great that the schools are open. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with more after these commercials. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and this is Fort McMurray Matters.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this. Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Once again, joining me in studio today is two people from the Fort McMurray Catholic School District. We have Board Chair Paula Galanzowski and Superintendent George McGuigan. So coming up, it was in middle of November-ish, the province put forward some proposed changes to the Alberta School Act, one of them requiring all students who enroll in kindergarten to be 5 years old by December 31st. Education Minister was just saying, because in some smaller jurisdictions, some school districts have it at 4, some have it at 5, just due to the competitiveness of it. Here, it's the both at 5 years old by the 31st of March. That's what you were saying, correct? So with this proposed change, it would take place, come into effect at 2020. Would you see much of a change when it comes to enrollment or the capacity of housing these students in any way?
I think we'll be fine. The nice part of it is that it's going to roll out in 2020, so it gives us some time to make adjustments that we need to make inside of the school system. We run a very extensive and successful early entry program and early childhood services in our school system, where we have students, you know, 3.5 years of age coming to school and enrolling in programs in an early entry type of fashion, where we really focus on students who maybe have speech delays and things, and they get specialized funding, and then we invite other students who are at the same age to come in at the same time. So we'll still be able to do that, mm-hmm. and because that early start to learning makes a significant difference by the time the student enters kindergarten, grade one, grade two. And because of that work in our elementary schools and what we do there, we're seeing, just excellent results by the time the students finish elementary school at grade six, as evidenced by our achievement test results. So we don't see much of a change will occur with that. The one nice thing about it just means that we'll no longer have too young of a student entering kindergarten, because they're pretty young. Mm-hmm. If we can keep them and maintain them, we may keep them 2 years in an early entry program to then start kindergarten at the proper age, at 5 years of age. And some when they enter kindergarten when they're only four and a half, and that deadline, that shows up not so much in kindergarten, but as they progress through school and they get into middle school, then you start to see a significant difference when they're finishing high school and they're only just turning 17, mm-hmm. right? And then maybe then at that time going off to post-secondary, they're not even an adult yet, and going into a university that's 20,000 people, ages up to 35, 40. So to me, keep them according to their age, keep them with their peers, don't rush it. They're going to be learning for life. So we think that move, I think, will benefit a lot of parents.
Right now, if parents within the district want to enroll their child before the deadline that you have set, can they?
Right now, everything is still status quo.
Right.
With what we have until we see.
But if they wanted to enroll their kid at 4, are they allowed or no?
We'll have to play that out and see just what our numbers will look like, mm-hmm. and how we're going to be able to stagger everything to make sure that the students enrolling in kindergarten at the right age.
Right.
Right. So it'll be depending on the needs of the child.
Mm-hmm. Would you say a lot of the majority of your students who come up through kindergarten were initially enrolled in these early elementary classes that you were just talking about?
Yeah, by and large, I'd say a very high percentage of our students enrolled in the early entry program, mm-hmm. which is what we're talking about, and they'll do that, and then they'll move to kindergarten. So, but we do have some parents who don't. Mm-hmm. They keep them at home, which is fine, especially if mom is at home and is a stay-at-home mom working at home. Then those things are just as beneficial, because it's nice if parents have that opportunity, but in society today, that's not actually the case, mm-hmm. for the most part.
Do you have it at all your elementary schools?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And another thing within the Alberta School Act, the change is if it's passed, students will no longer have to live further than 2.4 kilometers from the school for to qualify for the busing. So like we said in the first segment here, you do share your busing with the public school district. So would there be a lot of changes when it comes to the scheduling with that regard?
Yeah, we currently... We provide busing, both systems provide busing for students from 1 kilometer out, right? Not the 2.4. Mm-hmm. And we had always worked on a kind of fee for service and had really leaned towards and had it in place that regardless if you lived 1.2 kilometers or 3.5 kilometers from the school, you would pay for fee for busing, and it would be the same fee for everybody because everybody's riding the same bus. Mm-hmm. Now, this new change obviously impacted our fees, and for the one thing, for parents, it's probably one of the biggest issues that we face in looking after the children, getting them to and from school, is the whole transportation issue. And it really is, it's a tough one to deal with because it's not a one size fits all when you try to put a provincial policy in place, because we're fine. We live inside a municipality in a city, and for the most part, our buses are pretty centralized, with the exception of Sapre Creek and maybe Fort Mackay, but Fort Mackay has their own service industry. But people come from Sapre Creek, for example. I mean, that's kind of outside the city, but across the province and some of our school jurisdictions, the rural ones, I mean, students are on the bus an hour and a half,
right,
to get to and from school. And I mean, we try to keep ours under an hour, 45, 50 minutes, and it's pretty difficult sometimes. So it really is going to come down to how do we structure it, and how are we going to make sure that it's fair and equitable for everyone? Because in the past, there used to be a fee for people outside the 2.4, and then there's a different fee from people from 1 to 2.4, and then we had amalgamated the same fee for everybody, and then the government's in the new act, they've eliminated any fee for anybody over 2.4. Mm-hmm. So now you have a student that's 1.5 riding the bus, a student that's over 2.4 riding in the same bus, that family's paying, the other family's not paying. And for us, we don't think that's equitable. So we'll have to kind of wait and see what's going to shake out with it.
And is that something, too, that you'd sit down with the public school district and discuss, and the transportation company, just all of you guys?
Yes. Between the two school districts and with Sparksman's, our current provider, we'll have to sit down. And we both have people in our systems that do all the routes for us and get that all squared away. There's a master list, et cetera. But as far as the cost and what the distance factor and things that we're dealing with, we'll wait to see what the government says. Mm-hmm. But certainly we'll have to sit down as both districts together like we always do and come up with the same type of system, because we can't have one and they have a different one.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask earlier is when it comes to the kindergarten thing as well, and you mentioned it with this transportation, how with these changes overall, how much will it affect your costs increase, or will they a whole lot? Or does it just depend on what happens?
Yeah, it's going to depend on what they actually say. Right now, it's anybody above 2.4 is free.
Yeah.
So if they drop down that to 1 kilometer is free, then somehow we're going to need more revenue to cover the cost for our transportation provider. And depending on what dollars you get from the government, I mean, it's a tough situation in Alberta right now in our economy. I mean, we're not exactly flush with cash right now. So it needs to be taken, I think, very seriously and carefully looked at before we make that decision, because every dollar that we have to subsidize for transportation, that comes out of instruction. Right, so we have to kind of weigh it out and say which is better and what's the dividing line and what's the balance.
And when it comes to the kindergarten changes, proposed changes, would that have an effect on your operating budget at all?
It may, depending on how we set up kindergarten.
Right.
We'll just kind of wait and see what that shakes out like. But I think we won't do many changes for our early childhood services programming, because we know the research says an early start to learning pays dividends by the time they finish school.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything else you'd like to add on this? All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll continue this conversation when we return after these commercials.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this. Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. If you're just tuning into the show today, once again, joining me in studio is two people from the Fort McMurray Catholic School District and Board Chair Paula Galanzowski. So the last time you were on the show, we were talking about Santa's Anonymous and how the referrals were open. Those are closed as of Friday, December 1st. Before we get into the information all about that, just for those who don't know, what is Santa's Anonymous?
Santa's Anonymous is an initiative that Father Mercury has been leading since shortly after it opened in 1982, and I think they started in 1984. And every year it's student-led. There's a teacher that obviously takes the lead, mm-hmm. student-led, and they create hampers, food and gifts for families in need.
Mm-hmm. And so for the last couple of weeks, there have been food drives going on at local grocery stores. Is that right?
Food drives. They had the teddy bear toss with the oil barons. They actually, Pee-wee, the junior oil barons, had their own little teddy bear toss as well and raised about $4,000. And the donations just keep rolling in. It's a really great, it's great evidence that our community service. Just of service, and that our community just has so much to give, and mm-hmm. they do give.
They do give. And unfortunately, last year, we did see that need increase for the amount of referrals that you did receive. And as you were mentioning off air, not sure yet that number is. You still going through that process?
Yeah, we're not sure. I think last year we had 900 referrals, and they actually partnered a little bit with Salvation Army to take some of the load off of Santa's Anonymous. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. The students put in hours and hours, and the community puts in hours and hours coming to volunteer to sort and wrap and pack hampers, and then of course the delivery. So it's not just a Father Mercury or for a Catholic school district project. It really is a community project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see it throughout all the communities. Yeah. If you go to any grocery stores, some grocery stores, and then with that, we'll need even more eventually drivers, because we have to deliver these hampers and everything. So a very busy month going on at Father Mercury now.
It is. Their gym is full.
Oh, it all gets stored in the gym.
It all gets sorted in the two gyms. And it's really monumental. Like, the amount of organization is really incredible. It's a really incredible thing to watch.
And also teaching.
And participate in.
Like you said, it's a student-led initiative. Students volunteer their time. So it's just a great educational and learning experience, and instilling that volunteer spirit within your students.
And of giving back and of service. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would encourage families to volunteer to either pack or wrap. And it really gives a great visual of what the need is, of mm-hmm. what we need in the community, what families need, and what people give. And it's a really rewarding experience to either go and help wrap and pack or to deliver.
If people do want to volunteer at some point, what's that process? How do they get a hold of someone?
They can call the school at Father Mercury High School, 780-799-5725, and talk to Joanne Sloan. She's the admin assistant at the front desk, and she'll look after you and answer any questions or put you in the right direction. And I mean, the project itself, really for us in the community, the goal is to putting and keeping Christ in Christmas, mm-hmm. Really at the end of the day, and not just for our students, but for all our schools, because all our schools are involved, for the people who come to deliver. It's a very, very touching event for them. And we have there's no problem getting people to come and help, because we've been around so long, right? It's come to be expected, and people are lining up to assist, because they want to, basically inside, people are good people, and they mm-hmm. want to help others, mm-hmm. and this gives them an opportunity to show that.
And in addition to that, a bunch of other events going on for the holiday season at your schools. One tonight is taking place.
Oh, yes. We've got our Christmas concert season is mm-hmm. well underway. St. Martha's, I believe, is this evening, right? huge school, St. Martha's, led by a great administrative team, Lisa Miller and James Park, and just a superb staff at that school, really looking after and loving and caring for such a large number of students in an elementary school. So they, I think, will have four separate Christmas concerts. So they'll be quite happy when December 22nd rolls around.
The music teacher especially.
Yes, exactly.
The music teachers, I think, are the happiest when the last year of school comes.
They work extremely hard. And those Holy Trinity just finished their Joyful Noise concert last year. I mean, Shrek is on this week at Holy Trinity.
A couple
with
of the cast members earlier this week.
Tip of the hat, certainly, to the exceptional work of Nancy Lawson and James D'Souza at the school. Just phenomenal people, and the giving of time that they give and their vocation to education and the students. I mean, it's well received and well recognized.
Mm-hmm. So while we are finishing a year here, it's obviously not the end of the school year for you. When do students break up for the holiday break?
December 21st, the Thursday, is the last instructional day. December 22nd is our packing day. There's students who are involved in Santa, so we'll all be in working that day. Teachers are still in that day. So that's the last day for teachers, is on Friday the 22nd.
And then come back?
Come back, I think it's January 8th, I believe. Monday, January 8th. It's a little later. Last year we finished on the 16th, just because of the way the calendar worked. Mm-hmm. This week we're a week later, so they'll come back a week later in January.
And then for the high school kids, get right into exams shortly after?
Pretty well, maybe a week. A week later, they're into the exams.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for joining me in studio today. As always, it's much appreciated. And that is our show for today. We will be back again tomorrow from noon to 12:30 right here on Mix 103.7. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and you've been listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
This has been another edition of Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm, Culligan Water, and by Fort McMurray Orthodontics. If you have a question or a comment about today's topic or have an idea for a future show, please contact the news department by emailing mixnews@mix1037fm.com.